Thanks for tuning in to the Undercuts review of the 2026 Italian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen and enjoy the show.
By being a racing driver, you are under risk all the time. By being a racing driver means you are racing with other people. And if you no longer go for a gap that exists, you're no longer a racing driver.
All right, boys. Well, the 2026 Italian Grand Prix is come and gone. And Kimi, I mean, if you were doubting before, you can't doubt anymore. I mean, putting in what I think I said in the group chat, a Max-esque performance when he was at his most dominant, from P19 to winning the race. Pretty incredible.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they were talking on the broadcast, John Watson back in maybe 1980 or something came from like 22nd on the grid, but this is as far back as anyone has ever won a race from before. 19th, I think there was Max in Interlagos, what was that, like a couple of years ago, where he was 17th,
yeah,
net 16th once Lance had beached it. But other than that, I think Fernando somehow in 2008 in Singapore managed to come from 15th and win. Wonder how he managed that.
It
just fell to him.
I mean,
just the luck of the luck of the safety car.
Yes.
For our listeners, 2008 Singapore Grand Prix, give it a Google. Fernando Alonso's teammate, Nelson Piquet Jr., who is, in fact, Max Verstappen's brother-in-law.
That family's had quite a lot of drama.
Yeah, he intentionally crashed at a certain point on the circuit on a certain lap to enable Fernando to get a free pit stop and ultimately win the race. It cost Flavio Briatore his career until relatively recently.
Well, yeah. Not anyway. It doesn't seem to matter anymore. Flav's back.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So nothing has changed.
And Bernie Ecclestone's in the headlines again.
Indeed. But yeah, great performance from Antonelli, obviously taking a new power unit, an upgraded power unit for this race, which in no small part, I think, contributed to his ability to move up the grid so quickly. But you've still got to make the passes happen to get from 19th to first. 25 overtakes, I think they said he did on the day.
Insane.
Yeah.
You know, up from 19th to 12th at the restart, you know, with the red flag caused by Charles' accident, which I'm sure we'll come to. But man, he made very quick work of the non front runners to be really right up there in, you know, what, 18 laps, I think it took him to get to the front.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. It wasn't that, yeah, he spent the whole race like digging himself out of the hole. He was in the first place on lap 18.
Yeah.
But he was insane.
I think he was in sixth place after lap 3 or lap 4. Yeah. Like just a couple of laps after the restart, he'd gone from 19th to 12th and then 12th to 6th.
Yeah, absolutely. Insane. I mean, and when Verstappen did it, and we sort of half expected him to, like, where can he win? Because he was winning from way back in that season when he was dominant a few years ago. He had a few qualifications where he was, you know, 10, 12, whatever. But, you know, he was just, his car and Max behind the wheel was just streets ahead of everybody else. But, I mean, like you said, Nick, maybe the power unit, he was able to, you know, turn it up to 11. You know, and obviously it's a speed circuit in Italy, Monza. But to put in that kind of performance over everybody with the cars is, you know, they're competitive this year, you know, multiple winners from multiple teams. I mean, unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I mean, we've talked about what's George's mental state, you know, going in a couple of races past. George qualified second, Kimi 19th. And he still ends up losing ground.
What do you say?
I mean, what's he supposed to do?
I mean, he's raced well in the last two races too. Like before, he had like mistakes and there were errors, but like the last two races, he's raced well. He just got beat.
Everybody got beat.
Obviously, the engine, the new engine got him, got Kimi. Well, the Mercedes, the overall package is the class of the field. He was always going to make short work of certainly what I would view as being like Alpine back. But obviously, Charles took himself out of contention. Liam Lawson in the second Red Bull, he also had a power unit change and he had some contact with Nico Hülkenberg, which meant he had to get a new front wing and that put him way back. So he was out of the equation. So, but still, you've got to get into the fight. And, you know, it was a really lap 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, all really up until the virtual safety car. It was some good racing between the two Mercedes. You know, it was back, it was fourth. You know, they were battling and it meant that Max Verstappen was, you know, right there on the edge of overtake. So he was like 1.5 seconds back and then he managed to, you know, up ahead, they'd be tussling and that would give Max an opportunity to get back into the inside 1 second where he could use his boost. And until, of course, then Mercedes came on the radio and said, guys, stop fighting for a little bit and let's just get clear of Max.
Yeah, Kimi didn't like that radio message at all, did he?
But no, really?
Yeah, he came on and he, I forget exactly what he said, but it was pretty negative about like, sure, like, well, when he's in front, we'll stop fighting or something like that.
It was very sarcastic. I don't remember exactly what he said, but... Yeah,
but I think, you know, at that particular point in the race, given that they'd had the red flag, George had started on the medium and gone onto the hard with the intent of running to the end. Kimi, starting so far back, he started on the hard. Yeah. And then after the restart, he went onto the medium, which then could give him options from there, right? So he wasn't going to make the end of the race on the medium, but it meant that whatever tire was looking really good from George's perspective, if when he was going to pit again, he could go, go on to the other tire and do whatever. So he was always going to take the pit stop at the restart. He wasn't going to go through to the end. I think George was a little surprised by that, but George's strategy had always been to go to the end.
Yeah.
So I think it was also the added benefit of keeping them away from each other for like 30 laps or so until they inevitably would come together at the end.
I mean, the circumstances, I mean, everything worked out perfectly for Kimi, you know, whether it's the driving, the overtakes, the red flag at the beginning, you know, so he could change tires, the virtual safety car that only lasted, what, barely a lap.
Just enough time.
Who was it?
Him and Max.
Verstappen came in as well.
Yeah. Right behind him.
But who caused the VSC?
It was Stroll.
Lance, of course.
Stroll.
Mr. 100 out of Q1, Lance Stroll.
Yeah. I think on the radio, they said to Kimi, like, box, as long as the VSC hasn't ended, like, you're coming in to change tires. But if it does end, stay out. So they were going to sort of, you know, just see how it played out. But Nick, I think just like you said, getting the two apart helped Kimi because otherwise he was just going to be stuck behind Russell, using up his tires. He got a cheap stop, right? It saved him some time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the longest pit stop deltas.
Yeah.
Because they're just going so fast. You know, there's no... You know, if you go to, say, Silverstone and you miss out the whole last corner and the first corner by going into the pits, here it's you're at full tilt and then peel away into the pits. So it's like a 30-second loss almost.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest of the year.
I mean, there were almost no pit stops in the race because, like, obviously everybody changed tires on lap three during the red flag. And then after that, I'm just looking at the stats here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Only 10 total pit stops after that. You know, the majority, you know, only half the field that was left did one pit stop. And then everybody else just stayed on the whatever tire they were on. You know, whether that was, you know, hard or medium. They just went right to the end.
Yeah. I mean, because the net benefit of taking that cheap stop was negligible, right?
Yeah.
I think, didn't they, you know, Lewis didn't pit and he finished the same distance behind Max that he'd been before the stop.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was tight. It was always going to be very, very close. But you always, it's the trade-off, isn't it? It's like track position versus fresh tires.
Yeah.
One thing that was pretty clear at Monza is that in such an energy-starved circuit, you're getting different deployments. People were overtaking in crazy places because...
Yeah.
Which was part of my frustration a little bit. There was a lot of, especially at the start, a lot of overtakes and a lot going on. But then I was kind of hollow inside a little bit because it's like, how much of this is actually a really great move versus, oh, someone's just totally run out of juice?
Yeah. Yeah, I get your point. Like, there must be a record number of like lead changes or something like that. I can't remember a race where the lead changed so many times. But yeah, it's like, that's what we want in motorists, and we want overtakes. But yeah, how many of these were legit? Were they real? They didn't all quite hit as good as they could. But at the same time, I'm sure Mercedes especially had their heart in their mouth, because every time they did overtake, there's a chance they're going to come together, right? And they're both going to go flying off the circuit.
Well, they almost did.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and they did, right? Yeah, the very last overtake, or the last attempted overtake before he did get it done.
Yeah.
At the first chicane. Would you say that Russell like didn't give him space? Or Russell took a weird line through that too, defending. He went deep.
He went off track. Chicane. He had plenty of space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it was, the track was breaking up there. They were saying it was sort of similar to what they saw in Monaco.
I did hear that, yeah.
At the last chicane at Monaco this year.
Right.
If you saw the in-car after, you know, when on the post-race show, you could see the gravel and the stones getting thrown up as he went over that part of the track. So he just basically skidded off. That could have ended horribly.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, he was drifting through the gravel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Kimmy. Like, Kimmy was all.
Beach it.
Yeah. And he came on the radio like, what the hell was that? Like, I mean, but we saw, I mean, right at the very beginning, like the two Ferraris did almost the same thing, right, in the start, right? Look, I think Leclerc did not give Hamilton the room he should have done. I mean, I'm switching gears a little bit here.
Yeah, no, I mean, but it's good segue, right?
With my Ferrari glasses
on. It's the same part of the track.
Yeah, but everybody else was going through there side by side, and I think Hamilton was beside Leclerc. I don't know how many times you guys have seen the replay, but I think Leclerc could have given him room. Everybody else seemed to be managing their car through there.
It was, Lewis stuffed his car up the inside of turn one, the entrance to that chicane, like in a way that you take that tight of a line into the corner, most drivers are just going to go straight on, right? And take out people.
Right.
Obviously he didn't. He made it around that corner with plenty of room to spare, and he stayed ahead of Charles for the second part of the chicane. Charles just knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
He opened up the steering and just sharp elbows
eased
away
out.
You go.
Yeah. And then, you know, so that's like step one of the Ferrari disaster class, and then followed up with
how many steps are there going to be in this one?
Just step two is where...
Okay, just checking.
Where Piastri goes up the inside of Charles going into Parabolica. So Charles takes a slightly wider line, still with the power on, and ends up on the drains, and that's it. No too much power, no grip, and he's in the wall. And thankfully, okay, he was going fast.
Yeah,
he did not go into that wall slowly at all.
It's a heavy whack.
Those types of accidents where the back end goes and you go to correct, and then suddenly get a ton of grip in it, and they just spear off the side of the track on one of the fastest, you know, most high load corners that there are.
Yeah.
It's the fact that he was up and out so quickly was
good. I kind of a mistake from Charles, really. Like, he shouldn't have been that, he had to back off more based on where he was on the track. And, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. One thing I did hear him say in the interviews afterwards that it's like, as he was going round the Parabolica, he put his foot down and didn't really get the power that he was expecting. He came off the gas and then went again and then got a surge of torque, and that was what put his back end out. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, but you know, it shows that these cars in different conditions can bite you. Just last time out, Max crashing at Zandvoort.
Yeah.
You see a little bit of water involved in that one, but if you know, if you lose traction, you can be off. It doesn't matter who you are.
I mean, if you can't trust like how much power you're going to get at what time, you know, depending on what inputs you're putting into the car, then yeah, you can, bad things can happen, like, as you can see, to good drivers.
Yeah. But I think, you know, some people were trying to make things of the Ferrari situation and Lewis, because Lewis came on the radio on like lap 27, I think it was, when the virtual safety car was 28 or 29, saying, my tires aren't very good, and then they didn't bring him in pit. So people were trying to make something of that, but I don't know. I think it was,
I mean, like you said,
they knew who they were battling with at that particular point in time, and it was kind of no one really.
It wasn't definitive that it was the right move at all, right? Whether it was for Antonelli or Hamilton, you know, on this medium tire, you know, whether it would go to the end or not, but that's just what they chose to do. So that wasn't I don't see that as a massive Ferrari mistake, but it just always seems that Hamilton has like a bad start, and then he's always battling his way back into the, you know, the upper, the points. And I don't know.
Well, he had a good start, just not a good second corner, I guess.
Yeah, he had a good first corner. Yeah. Not a great second corner. And then, then that was it. What about
he did battle his way back forward a little bit? I think he was briefly in P3, but I just don't know where the pace went, especially given that it was he lost out those places to Verstappen, who, you know, it's funny, the Red Bull they can be pretty good certainly in the hands of Max, but then also the McLarens, who going into the weekend, it was like, well, their gearing is shorter than everyone else, so they're not really going to do anything. So I was certainly expecting the Ferraris to finish ahead of the McLarens.
Yeah. I mean, the McLarens had a pretty quiet race from my perspective. I mean, I don't remember them doing any particular overtakes. They were fighting with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which probably you didn't like to see, Jason, I'm guessing. But
they were fourth and fifth.
That's always the way with them. They're always like pretty close together on the track in whatever race, whether it's at the front or slightly further back.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, talking about energy deployment differences and overtakes in certain parts of the track, that was Lando getting past Oscar at the end just before Ascari, that last sort of big open chicane before the Parabolica, because he just hit his button, he mashed his button for boost, knowing that it was the end of the race. He didn't need to protect anything after that. No one really uses the boost, because as soon as they use it and it's all deployed, then they are sitting duck. But he managed to, he just used it all up, got past it, and I think he beat Piastri by like 0.1 of a second. But I think Piastri had been somewhat the better driver in the McLarens this weekend. You know, he would have started third if he hadn't impeded. Who was he impeding? Lawson?
Oh, yeah, in qualifying? Yeah. He got straight.
Gave him a three grid spot penalty.
Yeah, he definitely impeded him too. Like, he was totally in the way. That was, that wasn't good.
Yeah, no doubt. But another guy that did pretty well in qualifying, who we surprisingly haven't spoken about yet, Pierre Gasly. I mean, not only just him, but the whole team. I mean, it came out of nowhere. I mean, they've been slowly getting better, but I did not see a pole position coming from him.
I did not see that at all. I mean, a bit of a emotional roller coaster for Pierre, right? Because just a few hours or days before, they took away his Monaco podium.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
They re-reviewed the review again to
so FIA of them.
Re-adjudicate what they've already adjudicated. So he lost his podium in Monaco, which I guess went to
We're back to Hadjar.
We're back to Hadjar. That's right. But then I guess all that's forgotten the minute you're on pole at Monza, where you got your only Grand Prix victory. You know, he loves Monza, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, total shock. But
yeah, I mean, they executed just perfectly. They, you know, just as a team, obviously, they weren't the fastest car. Other cars were just kind of getting, they were tripping themselves up. I don't think anyone amongst the Ferraris, the Mercedes really had a, and the McLarens really had a spotless run in qualifying. And Alpine were right there to pick up the pieces.
Yeah.
Perfect execution. They found the right cars to draft down the straight. Because drafting was huge.
Yeah.
In Monza this weekend, in a way that hasn't really been the case before. Because then you also had Franco Colapinto in fourth, right? Fourth he qualified?
I think he got moved up to three, right? Because of Oscar?
Yeah, was it fifth to fourth? It was one of those, but he was up there as well. And at one point he was up into third spot early in the race. But then he threw it into the gravel at Curva Grande and undid all his hard work. He did battle back to ninth. So he was only two spots behind Pierre, who'd started in first and kept his nose clean throughout. In the media pen afterwards, Franco Colapinto, he looked dejected and upset and all of that. But it's like, dude, your teammate finished seventh and you finished ninth.
You probably would have finished there anyway.
You would have probably finished there anyway. So don't beat yourself up about it. All in all, very solid weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And they're just, you know, keeping to build the momentum. Obviously, they're trying to chase down Racing Bulls, who I think, like, it was Pierre. I don't remember what order. I guess Pierre, Lindblad, Franco, Yuki are the last four point scorers. So they gained three points on Racing Bulls. But I mean, good weekend for Racing Bulls too. I mean, Yuki coming in, getting another points finish, pretty impressive.
Yeah, and Yuki currently in 10th. I think I've heard that Audi, have they appealed? Because Yuki on the restart went to the wrong side of the grid and cut across into his grid spot.
Yeah, he did.
Right, in the last minute. And the race director sent them back around for another formation lap. But Yuki was in his box properly. He was just angled off to the side. I guess maybe the race director thought that he didn't want him facing that way, but he was technically... that's why he didn't get a penalty or anything, because... Right. People are expecting, well, they've done this because Yuki's messed up his start. He's done a Checo Perez and he's lined up in the wrong box or he's outside his box. But he met the rule and that's why there was no penalty. Audi are taking the view of like, but he caused another formation lap.
Yeah.
So I don't think it'll hold. I think it was the race director going off piste.
Right, because you're saying that he was pointing like off the track to the near side, because we see cars angling all the time towards the middle of the track, right, to cut off their rivals either beside them or behind them. But yeah, angling off the track is a new one and
into a wall, right? There's a wall right there.
I mean, there was the pits were there. But I think it was on that side. But the race director just made a split second decision, I guess, to be like, oh, I don't like the look of that, and sent them round again.
I can't blame them.
Like I said, you can't blame them. You don't really want someone trying to start and make a large steering input maneuver when these things deploy in odd ways. You don't want him spinning across the track like that. So
yeah.
I get it. But I don't think that Audi, if they do actually lodge an appeal, will have anything upheld. I don't know when the next court of arbitration is, but
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. if you line up your car that way on purpose when you're towards the center of the track, you're not putting any steering input for that. You're just going to drive straight at an angle across the track to cut people off, not try and straighten it out so you stay on the track. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that's really...
So we lost at the start. We lost Charles. We've covered that. And Stroll had a problem. What happened to Fernando?
He stopped just a few laps before Stroll. I'm not sure. He didn't crash. I'm not sure why he retired the car. There was a problem. Did he just retire into the pits?
He didn't finish.
I don't know. I don't think they started it. He was out before Stroll was out.
Yeah, but, just a few laps.
They didn't really show what happened there. I just wasn't really paying attention.
I mean, there was so much going on at the front, right? With the guy swapping places and Kimi charging through. Everybody from pretty much like Lindblad down didn't get much coverage because there was just... Yeah. So unless they were being passed, you know, by Kimi or other players.
I think Haas brought an upgrade this weekend, and obviously that didn't work out well for them.
An engine upgrade, which only Behrmann had. They both had the aero updates this time, because I think only Ollie had those last time. They only had one of the new upgraded Ferrari power units, which didn't really seem to make a whole lot of difference, actually.
Right. The Audis finished, just outside the top 10?
Yeah,
right?
11 and 12th.
11, 12. And then Sainz in 13th is not bad for Williams. They've been doing terrible recently, so they're going in the right direction, maybe. Obviously not points. Everybody else.
And then Cadillac at the back.
Cadillac at the back.
But they finished.
They both finished.
No one's brakes caught fire.
No.
Well, you don't really use...
bonus.
Yeah. Not many that's... brakes aren't used that much at Monza anyway.
I guess that's true.
Well, you need them when you need them.
when you need them, you don't use them as many times.
There's only like six or seven braking events on this track, so it's not as heavy on brakes as others where you've and you get a lot of straight in order to cool them down as well.
Yeah.
Well, you
so
could
it's not
call
like a Zandvoort.
Yeah, you could do a Sunny Haze and just go through the runoff area and like hit one of the things you have to go around end of the track and cause a red flag, just like in the F1 movie, you know. Just get it close again. Well, I think that's pretty much it from the race. And I guess that brings us to Coupes F1.
Oh, Coupes F1. Wow. I mean, Nick, you were the big winner this week. Out of us anyway. You made it to the front page.
Nice.
Top score this week.
Is this the part where I kind of admit that I forgot to put picks in and that I wouldn't have put Kimi winning?
Nobody would have put Kimi winning, right? When you take that many penalties. But it just goes to show you've got to treat him differently now. He's built different. Twillo 75. Maybe these are all the, you know, left by picks alone guys that are with you at the top score. So maybe we shouldn't pat them on the back, but you know, they're there with 243 points. Driver X with 240, S Fulmer, and our very own Nika Watanen with 230 points. Overall in the standings, technically, Jason, you stayed fourth overall. Even though technically last time you were third, but you dropped to fourth once we updated Gasly's Monaco result. So it's a bit all over the place. Top scoring Twillo jumps all the way to first.
Oh, wow.
So that's the new leader. And then Vivatero and the original team Williams both dropped down a spot. Where's my Toto Underbush? Oh, 12th, not in even the top 10 anymore. Oh,
falling apart.
Terrible. Yeah. But I don't know, you got some Coupes F1 royalty right behind you. Three past second place, you know, cup winners in 5th, 7th and 8th. So, good company. And what did it get for you, Nick? 26 spots up to 39th. So,
wow.
You're not in the mix yet, but
not in the mix yet, but keep me leaving my picks alone and
exactly
vaulting up there. I mean, but you know, we got the Mad Ring coming up, Madrid, the Spanish Grand Prix this weekend, which no one's been to.
I was going to say, what do people know about that course?
Ferrari have, well, it's brand new.
Right.
So Ferrari did a filming day there with Carlos a while ago. So it probably didn't even have white lines or anything on it. They did an F3 test there just so they'd have some cars going on to get, I don't know, practice with marshals or whatever. There were lots of red flags. Lots of crashes and new and bent F3 cars. It looks like it's a pretty challenging track. No real straights, though. So we don't really know what's going to happen from an overtake perspective. There's 17, I don't even know how many corners, I'm not even going to make it up, but there are a lot of corners. So a lot of braking, a lot of regeneration. So this should be something more like Zandvoort, than, Monza, certainly, in terms of the amount of power deployment. So, I don't know. We'll see how we go.
Yeah, it's a very, I mean, I think I'm just looking at it right now. 22 corners. A lot of corners. Yeah, and only sort of like two real straights. Super twisty.
They go around exhibition halls and roundabouts and under bridges and all sorts of stuff.
Cool. Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, something new, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's no one's been there. So everyone will be going to get there and try and figure out in FP1 what their simulations have given them and if that's quick or not. So there's going to be a lot of development between FP1 and qualifying. You look at Red Bull, they're always pretty good taking what looks like a bag of spanners on a Friday into a capable racing machine on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
So maybe this is Max's opportunity to get his first win.
Yeah. It looks a bit, looking at the photos that they've shared of the circuit, it gives me kind of like Miami vibes a little bit. Maybe that's just because it's new and nice and clean and stuff like that. But
as long as it's Miami vibes and not Sochi vibes, we'll be all right.
Yeah.
Or Monaco vibes.
But I mean, like we said, these races are coming thick and fast now, right? This is...
Yeah, it's like back
to
back.
11 races in 14 weeks this
year. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, this is the third of three in a row, and then there's going to be another bunch coming end of September, early October. So, yeah.
Well, anything else you guys think we missed?
Well, just to say, if it wasn't Kimi's to lose, it's definitely Kimi's to lose now, right? Surely, you know.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what a place to get a win as well for him. Yeah. No, the first Italian winner of the Italian Grand Prix in 60 years.
Yeah. 1966.
They said. So, you know, I think that the Tifosi were all obviously wearing red, but they all stuck around afterwards. Yes. They weren't leaving the track as if it had been George who'd won the race. They stuck around, they watched and they cheered for Antonelli. And when they were up there on the podium, that the podium at Monza is just epic.
Yeah, all the time.
And that was a very loud national anthem rendition for Kimi on the top step.
He has to give up the corner. I had to bounce ahead. What is wrong with these people?
Thanks for listening to the Undercuts review of the 2026 Italian Grand Prix. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time for our review of the 2026 Spanish Grand Prix in Madrid. We'll see you there.